pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. You're going to want to be in touch with the program. You're going to use that text line. Text me. That's the best way to respond to anything you're hearing on these airways. Got a busy hour ahead. We'll kick it off here in just a moment with Congressman Jerry Carl, but also coming up in about a half hour, Chairman of the Republican Party, John Wall, and then the Baldwin County Republican Party Chairman also going to join us here in the Fairhope Bureau, Patrick McWilliams. So there's a event later on today, and so a few people in town, but that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. You want to stick around for that. Without further ado, though, joining us now on the line, our congressman here in this listening area, Jerry Carl, is on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am fantastic. Up here in D.C., it's beautiful weather, and trying to wade through the D.C. nonsense this morning.
So the weather's cooled off for you guys up there. You're like feeling a distinguishable difference.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's cooled off. It's still sweatable, but it's still cooler weather. Nothing like it was. It was miserable during August up here.
Yeah, I think it's miserable everywhere. But anyway, that's a discussion for later, I guess. Let's start here. We'll get this out of the way. A debt ceiling approaching, not really getting the attention, except there's a few Republicans who are threatening to challenge the speaker. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but it's a reality. Where are things? How do you feel about that whole process?
Well, you know, we had a conference this morning, and it got pretty heated, and there was a lot thrown around the room, and we need more of that. And that was my response. There's a handful of folks up here, and we've got the largest cut in budget in history in this town that we put together on appropriations. And we're very proud of that. We worked very hard on that. Some of the, you know, a total of 12 different appropriation bills, one of the bills was as much as 30%. So we've done a tremendous amount of cutting. But there's some people that just don't think it's enough cut. Well, my frustration doesn't come with the fact that they disagree. My frustration comes with the fact we don't get together as a conference and have this conversation. And I made the statement today, they need to lock us in the room and slide food underneath the door until we can come out and be one. And have this conversation out loud and among ourselves behind closed doors versus trying to get leadership to make the deals. You know, so far, Kevin's done a great job of making deals off the floor and with individuals and stuff like that. But I think we're at a point now that as a conference, we've got to come together and, you know, the majority should rule. And, you know, we've got a lot of important stuff coming up here in the next 14 days. And we got, we got the possibility of a CR that we need to get passed to help us get through the budget process. I mean, there's so many things hanging. And again, today, and I know the media lit up with some of the stuff that Kevin was saying, we're at a point. We've got to start having this conversation out loud instead of depending on leadership to talk for us. So hopefully that was my conversation today. Right now we're dead in the water. We're not, these bills are not coming up on the floor to be voted on. A lot of conversations happening off the floor between the leadership and a handful of people. And I don't, you know, the fact that we're asking questions and some are digging their heels in and they want changes here and changes there, that's good stuff, Jeff. That's the stuff that makes this country strong. But, again, we've got to get together and become one. If we don't get all we're asking for, that's fine. I don't ever expect to get 100% of anything. But we've put so much work into this appropriation bill. We were so excited to bring it and get it on the floor and vote it on. But it seems to be crumbling right now, but that doesn't mean it's over with. We still got more time on the clock. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep pushing.
Well, tell me this. I mean, do you sense any give? Because A lot of times we watch, you know, these stalemates, and they just go on and on and on and on. Do you sense any give from the sides here? Do you sense any give, I guess, from the House Freedom Caucus? Or do you think they're pretty steadfast to where they're going to stand as far as some of these spending levels, because they don't want to – they're not looking to budge, but maybe I'm reading it wrong.
Well, you know, I don't want to label the Freedom Caucus, because there are several of those members that are working with us very well. And we've got some great stuff in the last year that the Freedom Caucus has brought to us and we put in place. I want to make sure I support the Freedom Caucus as a whole, but there's individuals in there I truly think that have got other things in mind, you know, and those are the ones that we need to have a conversation with. There needs to be the other 85% of the Republican group needs to have a conversation with the entire Freedom Caucus. We need to have some healthy conversations. But there are some Freedom Caucus members that will not support what's trying to be pushed through. Most people don't understand. They think Freedom Caucus, there's really not a role. There's not a membership. There's not a lot of things. We've got a handful that are very, you know, the word conservative has really been ruptured up here. I don't know if we've done it or the Democrat Party's done it to us, but the word rupture, either you're conservative or you're extreme conservative. You know, which one are you? If you're conservative, you're a rhino. If you're extreme conservative, in some people's eyes, that's where you're supposed to be. I'm a businessman. I'm used to working deals. I'm used to trying to make things run and keep running, because that's what you have to do a business. That's the way I'm focused on the government. My focus is to keep the government moving. If we shut the government down, keep in mind, our military folks, they get no pay. So if you're in active duty and you're in Afghanistan or wherever you're at, Afghanistan wouldn't be a good choice right now. But if you're in active duty, what are you going to do with your family back home? How are you going to provide for them now all of a sudden? So there's a lot of things that go along with shutting the government down that we really have to slow down and think through. Do we really want to do that to our warriors that are out there protecting us? So, again, we've got some time left. We've got to sit down. We've got to work through this. But we have to do it as a complete congregation. We can't be in opposite sides of the building talking through a microphone at one another.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program. Congressman, impeachment, Leader McCarthy, or no, I keep calling him Leader Speaker McCarthy, is announced or directed an impeachment inquiry. Everybody wants to know where this is going. You got a front row seat to it. Kind of give us your thoughts, the lay of the land on the impeachment progress.
So if you remember what they did with Donald Trump, impeaching Donald Trump, they came up with the Russia collusion theory, and that's what they impeached Donald Trump on, was based on a theory and no real evidence. I do not, nor do most of the Republicans up here, want to do that. So the impeachment inquiry gives us, we already know what we know. And what do we know? We know there was a tremendous amount of money that was made based on the vice president at the time's name by, I think, 9 different family members. So the impeachment inquiry gives us the right, gives us the authority that we can start looking into the checking accounts, the credit card accounts. We can start putting a timeline together and knowing exactly where that money moved. So if we can tie that money directly to the president, we've done it. Boom, it's on. But we've got to tie that together. If not, we're going to be labeled as just trying to get revenge for Donald Trump and his impeachment. I don't want revenge. Revenge is for suckers. But if you've truly got an elected official like we've got, and I feel this way, that's elected, that's in office right now, that has made money off of his name through his family members, I think that's wrong. None of us were set up here to do that. We were set up here to represent our people, not represent our family from a business standpoint. So I'm very committed on this impeachment inquiry. I'm excited about it. It gives us access to these checking accounts. I've said it to you. I've said it to everybody. There's two particular checking accounts that we have a tremendous amount of interest in that we cannot get access to. Now we can get access to it. Now we can find out exactly what and how it transpired and where the money moved. Where the money moved is interesting. But what's evolving from this, Jeff, is how the cover-up. You know, it's just like committing a sin. Committing a sin is bad, but the cover-up of committing a sin makes it even worse. So we see the Justice Department now. We see the Justice Department now that's actually going in and covering up for the president and giving three different statements in a 30-day period. That was part of the conversation today they shared with us. That three different statements.
Right.
Totally different about the same question. And these are the type of things that we hope to, in the very near future, be able to lay out for the people and say, this is why we want to move forward with an impeachment.
Well, Congressman, a couple of quick questions here. The impeachment inquiry, can you kind of lay out the differences between what these committees, judiciary and oversight, have been doing versus an official impeachment inquiry? And then secondly, you get the impeachment inquiry going, does that compel the Department of Justice to cooperate more? I mean, they have been very uncooperative so far. Why should we think they're going to be any more cooperative under what is now will be labeled an impeachment inquiry?
Well, impeachment inquiry, we get to pull numbers. We get to pull all the things I ran through a while ago. But the Department of Justice probably already has this. On the tax fraud case that they put together on Hunter, that's already – they're going to already have it. So the fact they've denied it, it helps us in the future dealing with them. The fact that they've covered up, again, that helps us with the future of them. But we've got to make our case. We've not asked Hunter Biden a single question, if you think about it. So if we take these people and put them under oath – We have the documents. We have the information. We put them under oath. They tell us the truth or tell us a lie. Either one. We've gotten what we need to put a case together. We can't. So these committees. You know, you've got one committee working on the banking side, trying to get the records. You've got Comer working, trying to tie all these people together through the emails and through the communication side. And then you've got Jordan who's looking from a legal standpoint. You know, who said what, who lied? You know, he's pulling the strings from the legal standpoint. So all three of these committees are working together to come up with one answer. Is he guilty or not? Does it tie directly to the president or not? Now, in everyone's eyes, including mine, he's guilty. But again, we've got to offer solid proof of where it's at and how it happened.
Well,
and they are so close, and that's what the meeting was this morning was about.
The other issue is what if we just have witnesses or government agencies that just will not cooperate? They refuse to, and then I guess you could have a contempt citation. But it's like Eric Holder was a contempt of Congress for like the majority of his tenure as Attorney General. That as long as the Department of Justice doesn't take action on it, then I mean, what good is it? Like, how do you get these guys to how do you force these guys to play ball with something so serious?
You get a new president, a Republican president, a Republican House, and a Republican Senate. They will bail out like a sinking ship. There'll be a bunch of rats bailing out. The Democrat Party's got so much riding on this election. It is incredible. I mean, it's enormous what's this next election. It's got to be, without a doubt, the most important election in this country's history. We get one chance to clean this up. Because if they take the House, or if they take the Senate, or keep the Senate, or if they keep the presidency, it's over. It's over. I'm sorry.
One last question, and we'll get you out of here on this. We heard a lot during the 2022 campaign about Mayorkas and Merrick Garland. And maybe especially Mayorkas, getting him out. He deserved to be impeached. He's not enforcing the law. do you see any movement on any either one of those two?
Everybody's angry at them. Fauci's name came up today in the committee meeting, too. I mean, everybody's just outraged at Fauci. I know Fauci's, quote, unquote, I'm getting ready to retire and be out of the scene, but there's some things attached to Fauci we've got to figure out, and I'm not at liberty to talk about it. We've got to figure out, do we continue it or do we not? It's going to be something to be, either way we go, it's going to be hard to answer for. But we're looking at all of that. We're looking at all that. And at the same time, we're trying to keep the country open. There's a lot flying up here right now, Jeff. I mean, it is not a simple time to be in Congress. It is very, very complicated. Even the old timers up here are walking around shaking their heads. Just so much going on. And you can't focus on everything. You have to pick one or two that you feel like your personal right. skills allow you to do and go after those.
Well, Carson, best of luck to you. I know you got it all under control, but
we
look forward to talking to you again in the future.
All right, Jeff. You take care. God bless.
Thank you. That was Congressman Jerry Carl. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.